was going crazy, boy. And he seen the Shannon Sharp video. Did you see the Shannon Sharp video?
Don't get yourself fired.
What are you talking
about? Anthony, come in and save your boy. Come in and save your boy.
Oh.
We don't want to be mimicking something you just watched during the top of the hour on the radio.
Don't try to coach me. No one knows what I'm talking. Chris, you're just the you're the no fun police.
Am I right? Thank you, Anthony. Listen to Anthony Haney.
Tell Barack Obama to you know what? I'm done after the
first. I mean, just listen to Joe.
Who's Joe?
I believe in Joe Hendry.
His voice. Why do you can't? Oh, man.
All right. Anyway, you wanted to tee off on Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, Cliff Kingsbury, and Adam Peters, calling them, what was it, the most incompetent fools ever hired by this organization?
I don't like when you do that to me. I don't.
Okay. Well, I don't like when you
people really.
I don't like when you do certain things.
Well,
like come back and mimic the sounds that you were listening to and watching of Shannon Sharp during the top of the hour break.
I growled a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All so right. Go ahead. I'm teeing you up. I'm giving you the bat. The pinata's hanging. Go right ahead after one game there, superstar.
You're saying after one game?
The voice of college football.
Is that your way of trying to, like, give them a pass for what happened Sunday?
Oh, I didn't give them a pass. I just don't make sweeping judgments that wind up on a T-shirt or slogan or whatever after one game and one sample.
And
no, I don't.
I think you do do that.
I do?
Yes.
How do I do that?
You and your DeSean Jackson bit. I think you have a history of doing that.
Okay.
But no, I think Sunday defensively, and that's really what I wanna harp on. Cliff gets a pass for what happened Sunday. Cliff's negligence Sunday, nowhere near the negligence of Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. You can put all these cute ass sayings on T-shirts, doing hard stuff with good people, anybody, anywhere, anytime. Where was that mantra? Where was that way of life arriving violently to the football? Where was all of that Sunday between the hours of 4:25 p.m. Eastern time and 7:30 Eastern time? It did not exist. They looked like a heartless, soulless defense at times. Missed tackles, not running to the football, hands on your hips, sucking wind like you didn't practice all damn summer. Oh, wait! The first week of training camp, the practices were 45 damn minutes. You knew all summer long that you were going in to play in 90-plus degree weather in the opener, and your guys didn't look prepared. You decided not to play your starters during the preseason. They couldn't tackle my grandmother. It was egregious, the amount of missed tackles that we saw. It was egregious, the lack.
Nine, as charted by PFF.
Nine missed tackles.
Linnell's favorite service.
Nine missed tackles. Numerous occasions, guys not running to the football. And my problem is, and I guess this is going to sound like me contradicting myself, but that's what you say I do all the time anyway. You can't have your best players. You can't have your best players stink as often as Washington did Sunday.
So,
Bobby Wagner was brought here, and you all put him on a damn poster. You all put Bobby Wagner on a poster. Oh, future Hall of Fame linebacker. He led the NFL in tackles last year. He's 40. He can't run.
He was charged
defense.
He was charged with two missed tackles.
Two egregious missed tackles.
A terrible one.
You got to be in position to make the tackle, to have a missed tackle. His ass is so slow, moving sideline to sideline, he plays like he has cement in his cleats. Jeremy Chinn missing wide open tackles out of the wazoo. You know who's not going to be inactive for too long? Derek Forrest. If Jeremy Chinn plays the way he played on Sunday, moving forward, no chance in hell you can keep Derek Forrest inactive. Your three free agent signings on defense that were supposed to be the bee's knees all sucked on Sunday. Frankie Louvel had a couple of impactful rushes where he forced Baker to step up and flush.
Yeah.
Outside of that, missed tackles, jogging to the football. are three marquee free agent signings. Hell, we could even go four because Dorrance Armstrong was on a milk carton as well. Couldn't get a pass rush to save his life. I had to listen to people say, well, Dorrance Armstrong could be a 10.5-sack guy. What did I continue to say all summer long about Dorrance Armstrong? He has never played the volume of snaps that he is going to have to play here. He didn't play that much in Dallas.
He only played 37, to be fair, on Sunday.
And Deron played 40.
Yeah. I'm just saying. He only played 37. It's not an egregious amount that he was asked to play.
I hope the game time temperature.
But he was a non-factor.
The only guy who played hard. The only guy I feel like who played hard the whole game was Deron. You saw him on multiple occasions retracing his steps, running downfield, trying to tackle guys on screens.
That was an impressive hustle play when he back chased the screen.
But the linebacker should have made the play. That's the problem.
That. Listen, nobody is sitting here saying that this defense played well. The problem is Emmanuel Forbes played so bad on the back end. Mikey Sanders still was exposed. Benjamin St. Juice was beaten by a Hall of Famer. The problem is there's been so much focus on what people can easily identify that you forget how bad the front seven was, minus, guess who? Jamin Davis. And for all the criticism that you just leveled, and some of it is more than fair about Joe Witt and Cliff and Dan Quinn and all of that stuff, you know, we also should just point out that there was one guy who was the top-rated defensive player, again, per PFF, whatever you think of them, for the Washington Commanders on defense, and that was Jamin Davis.
Why didn't he play more?
I don't know. He only played 13 snaps.
I'm at the point now where I may be ready to kick him back to linebacker sooner than later. We cannot survive 17 weeks of Bobby Wagner. I swear to God we can.
Jamin Davis cannot play Mike linebacker. As soon as you understand that, we'll be good.
I'm not saying he has to be an every down linebacker. Bobby Wagner can't be in on any third down.
Okay.
He cannot play on third down.
This was the debate, problem, whatever, the question that I had all offseason.
Yes, and I also was right there with you.
Who is going to call the defensive plays on third down if Bobby Wagner is not going to be out there on any or every?
He can't.
And he shouldn't probably be.
He can't run.
Unless you have somebody on the field that can trail 6'4", 6'5", cyborg-type tight ends.
That's why Jordan McGee going down is
a huge
wrench in their plans.
It's a huge loss. Where was Dominic Hampton? He was inactive on Sunday. I mean, you had mentioned at one point you were
inactive. I would have had both.
Right. But you can't have everybody active. And this is part of the problem, right? So now they had Dominic Hampton and they had Derek Forrest inactive on Sunday.
Jeremy Reeves played zero defensive snaps.
Yep. I mean,
the problem clearly is on the defensive side of the football, but my issue with that is you have who you have. And this is why I bring Adam Peters back to the forefront. I don't think you can say that you can't fix everything in one offseason. The places and the resources he chose to use. I said it last week before the game even happened, did I not? Bobby Wagner, Johnny Newton. Could have used your resources elsewhere where you need massive help at.
I mean, that's a fair criticism.
Point blank.
I don't believe you are ultimately correct on the philosophy at the time on Johnny Newton. Okay?
I get his BPA.
It's turned out to be
BPA,
a disaster so far.
I get it.
Okay? But one game in a couple of weeks or a couple of months does not make a career. But I think you're wrong at the time on the decision to go BPA and a guy that they clearly had a first-round grade, and so did everybody else for the most part, right? And by the way, at that point, he only had one broken foot, not two.
Not two.
Okay, and he's trying as hard as he can to find a third and a fourth foot to get surgery on at some point here, okay?
My point
is this. I think some of your criticism is fair. I think it's more than fair. Listen, as a guy who championed Dan Quinn all offseason and before the season even ended last year, I was the one that was reporting from whatever they're calling it, Northwest Stadium, the day of the regular season finale that Dan Quinn wanted this job. Dan Quinn privately wanted this job, and he got it. And Adam Peters immediately identified that he wanted a leader of men. And oh, by the way, we should have known it then. Immediately. And I still didn't think he would do it. And I thought about it. I still didn't think he would do it, that he wanted Dan Quinn, who is widely considered a great leader of men. Now, that doesn't mean that you have all the answers to all the problems. And that's
it doesn't, but it's certain things. It's week one of the damn regular season. I shouldn't see guys jogging to the football as much as I did. Your team looked out of shape and unprepared.
I think that's fair. I think that's...
That's my problem.
But
I can deal with a busted coverage. I can deal with a missed tackle.
Across the board in the NFL, right, would you say that every defense looked great and that was
Look at the Jets. The Jets didn't play their starters at all during the preseason. They gave up eight straight scoring possessions.
Was the reason because San Francisco was so damn good or because the Jets were so damn bad or a combination?
San Francisco played their starters for an entire half in the preseason finale.
That's a fair criticism.
I think this is my... bigger overarching point is that the National Football League and its calendar needs to be 110% overhauled. There's a lot of wasted time and there's not enough preparation on the actual football part.
All right, let's get to...
No reason they should be reporting in April. They shouldn't. The NFL has their calendar the way that it is to get their coverage on NFL Network and to do their back to football bit, all of it. Like, it's all for television.
You want them to report in when? June?
In reality, you shouldn't be reporting till July.
So you want them to have more time off?
Chris, the time that they're spending in the building, they aren't doing crap.
I know, but it's better than doing nothing. I mean, it's better than working out with Johnny the Trainer for an hour and a half a day in Corpus Christi, Texas.
A lot of the times, man, the work that you get in with a personal trainer, you're getting way better work than you're getting on the field in practice with these BS practice reps that they do.
Are you kidding? You can still work out with a personal trainer. I mean, you're in the building
if
4 hours
a day. If your guy is located in Southern California and you're asked to be in Ashburn, you're going to fly back and forth. What if you can't bring them because your guy has other clients?
Well, then find somebody else.
Oh, come on, Chris.
I mean, is there one guy on planet freaking Earth?
Chris,
you're being
oblivious. Look how many
one
players.
One guy?
Chris, come on. You got to understand. You know what I'm saying.
All right. Let's go to Paulie. What's up, Paulie? How are you?
What's up, Paulie?
Hey, to the W. Booster. Good, man.
What's shaking,
Paulie? Linnell said the mercy of the evaluator. I'm at the mercy of the headphones. That's what you guys are. Yeah, Linnell is giving you bipolar radio today at its best.
Pissed off, Paul. I'm tired of losing.
I was going to compliment you on the 180 you did from the post game show to start this show, and now you right back on your post game rant, bro. Hey, listen, man. Rooster's right. Your criticism is fair, but it's also not fair too because you're talking as if it's definitive criticism, where really it's constructive criticism. Because all this stuff you talk about is going to improve. So Bobby Wagner, they didn't bring Bobby Wagner to be Bobby Wagner in year two. They brought him in more for his mind than his play. He's going to get it together, man. They just got to play together and gel together.
I hope.
That's all, man.
I hope.
It ain't about hoping. It is what it is. I'm telling you, man. This, like I said to Russo on Monday, man, this outfit is new from the rooter to the tutor. You know what I mean? You gotta lower your expectations, man. You gotta lower. That's like, if we go out here and lose to the Jets, it's not the end of the world.
Oh, Paulie, Paulie, brother, you already know. If we lose to New York, Slim,
you can't say, oh, the Chargers is a bad team. We a bad team. We had a higher draft pick than the Giants. We lost to Danny DeVito last year after getting 10 sacks or 8 sacks, whatever it was. Like, we are possibly the second worst team in the league 2 years running behind Carolina. You know what I mean? And it ain't really, it's a close worst. Carolina ain't that much worse than us. They own it just horrible. But my whole point is, man, know your expectations, man. This should be constructive criticism. We just want to see things get better from 1 week to the next week. And let me tell you something. It ain't all going to get better in 1 week. You know what I mean? You might see a 40% improvement or a 60% improvement. But you can't you're giving out a lot of definitive criticism to these players, man. And Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. Look, it almost reminds me of Dan Campbell, Detroit. first year, everybody was the first press conference, the football world was laughing at him, and sir, he was crazy and talking all this bravado, chopping wood, almost like your man Joe Witt, you know, bringing the hammer and all that. Everybody laughing at him. Well, who's laughing at? You know what I mean? You got to build this thing, man. You got to have a little patience, man. Calm down a little bit, man. Call up G from the shot, man. I'm pretty sure he got one rolled up. Sound like you might need to hit it, bro. Hell to the W.
It's so hard.
Maybe that's the solution. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate
it. It's so hard to maintain patience.
If they go 0-2 on Sunday, you are going to have a freaking connection.
I'm going to lose my rabid-ass mind if they lose to the Giants. Are you kidding?
I think you're out of control.
Where are the signs of progress, Chris?
Listen, again.
Losing to the Giants is a clear.
Right. There are teams that have lost to worse teams than the Giants. Yes. I mean, what do you think the Cincinnati Bengals are thinking right now? Even though they didn't have T. Higgins, even though Ja'Marr Chase was clearly less than 100%, what do you think they're doing? Huh?
I know what they're doing in Cincinnati. They're ringing the alarm. They're ringing the alarm.
Well, they should be ringing something. Maybe ringing somebody's neck. I don't know. I mean, here's the problem. I understand how ridiculously frustrating Sunday afternoon, 4:15, driving home from Northwest Stadium in all sorts of traffic, it would be, and how angry people are going to be. And I understand and respect passion. What I guess I don't understand at this point is that it's the end of the road, that it's like everybody should be fired, everybody should be on the chopping block. That type of mentality,
I don't understand. That's not at all what I said.
Though. I mean, that is what people are saying, and you alluded to it.
I said I would fire everyone.
Yeah, I mean that pretty much. Would summarize it? Yes.
Clearly, though, you were
just being sarcastic. Okay, so I just want to make sure that we're clear.
But the overall sentiment is legit. Like, you can't talk about. See, it'd be different if Dan Quinn and Adam Peters stopped using this cute ass recalibration word. Call it what the hell you are.
You pay too much attention.
You are in
to
a rebuild.
You pay too much attention.
I want transparency.
You pay way too much attention to this nonsense.
You're saying I pay too much attention to it? I want transparency from the people in charge.
And so does everybody else. Everything that these guys say, you take as word, you know, as gospel. Just stop. You're better off not listening to it. Or listening it one ear in one ear and out the other. Or having a giant grain of rock salt next to you. Take it with a grain of salt, man, because nothing that they're telling you is 100% authentic and real. Nothing.
I thought we hired the realest head coach on the market.
And it doesn't mean anything, ultimately, because you know what? What they say on Wednesday, what they say in mid-July, what they say at a press conference in May doesn't translate to the field. You have all the slogans, banners, T-shirts, awards.
I think that was more of that
nonsense.
That was more of my nothing. I think that's where more of my That's where most of my
venom,
anger comes from.
Anger
is the slogans, the tough talking, all of that, and they didn't play like that at all. See, this is my thing, and I learned my lesson last year against Buffalo, trying to question effort.
Okay, let me just ask you this: do you think you talk a pretty tough game? I mean, you talk. You're boisterous. You're very, very confident in yourself.
I would think that I back that up by.
I mean, sometimes you do.
I would say about 80% of the time I back up.
So maybe Sunday was one of those 20% of the times.
I love when you try to compare me to the team.
It's my favorite bit that you do. I'm just trying to use like fairness. Like, just because you have a bunch of cute slogans and then play like horse's ass doesn't mean that you're going to play like horse's ass 17 weeks in a row.
Chris, it is about playing like horse's ass, but all of the same communication and not communicating enough. I'm tired of hearing the same excuses for why this group fails. what about this regime? What about this staff? They're on notice to me, defensively. The defensive coaching staff
one game
is what I don't give a damn. One they game. Are 100% on notice.
One game.
One game. They did not arm themselves with the proper personnel to have success on that side of the football. And to be that negligent this offseason frustrates the hell out of me.
Well, another slogan that you live by is how we'll return on the other side, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we'll have a game day weather update for you coming up during cleanup on aisle three. I heard once again this morning Greenberg, and I have never heard them do this, but he made a reference to cleanup on aisle five. Yeah, I don't know if anybody watches that show enough. I watch it here and there, along with the Junkies, along with SportsCenter in the morning, so maybe I've missed it, but do they do a cleanup on aisle five on that show?
It's about Get Up?
Yeah.
Or Get Down is what you call it?
Get Down, yeah. Cold pizza, all that.
I don't watch it.
I don't know. I heard him make a reference to clean up on aisle five. I don't know if that was just a reference or if that's a thing that they actually do.
Maybe this is you just being so far ahead of the trends.
Yeah, damn it. That's my theme. I created that. I'm the first one to ever do that. Nobody else is like me. Whew. I am one of the top three talk show hosts in American sports radio history.
Sure.
Not just today.
Jaden, I don't want to hear from him until his pocket awareness and field vision improves. I talk so highly of this young man. Also, because I'm going to be real, I feel like the biggest ass walking around the DMV. I feel like the BBL of sports analysts. Seriously. Because all summer, I told you all, you know, the defense sucks. They don't have very good wide receivers, but damn it, this quarterback. And he came out in week one, and he I don't want to say he let me down, but he owes me one.
I don't know yet.
Yeah. Okay. Lose to the Giants, Jaden. Lose to the Giants. I will burn that jersey.
Sure.
Athan, I'm sorry.
I was going to say the one that AA got you?
No,
and the one that you stole that was supposed to be for me?
Being real, though, I think the defense clearly is a bigger problem spot.
Right. But if they lose on Sunday and if Jaden struggles against a very talented defensive line and Bobby Okereke and
Deontay Banks, Adoree Jackson.
From Maryland, Adoree Jackson, who was out there for everybody to take and nobody wanted, including Adam Peters, and is back now with the Giants, what have you. If they struggle on offense Sunday, which I think they will, I think they'll find a way to win this game, but I think they will.
What you're saying.
I cannot imagine anybody in their right mind, and maybe my expectations for your right mind is something different than is unfair to ask. I can't imagine anybody going, Jaden Daniels, I'm quitting, I'm burning a jersey. Even if they lose, even if he throws five interceptions, so what? It's all part of the learning process. Now, 2 years from now, that's a problem. His first two games, not a problem.
In reality, though, I think there's a lot to build on from what he did in week one. And I think they seeing him run for the first time and actually understanding that the game speed translates to this level, I think that's a really big thing to take away, because I was concerned about whether that would be the case, whether he was LSU fast and elusive. He is NFL fast and elusive, because that was a fast defense he played against. I just got to see improvement from him as a passer. I would say this, I think Cliff Kingsbury, amongst all of the coordinators working with rookie quarterbacks, Cliff Kingsbury has bent his offense the most to fit the skill set of Jaden Daniels. When have you ever seen a Cliff Kingsbury offense just rely solely upon quick game? If you go and chart all of the Cliff Kingsbury offensive performances in Arizona, I guarantee you the average...
They never ran quick game with Kyler
Murray? Not that
Murray?
They never ran it, but the average depth of target throughout the entire game on Sunday is that's not traditional of a Cliff Kingsbury offense or a Brian Johnson offense, for that matter.
Right, but then we criticized coordinators for not coaching with what they have and what, not what their system is, but what they have. And what they have right now is Swiss cheese.
Brian Robinson saw the, the fourth most eight-man boxes in the NFL on Sunday.
Okay.
Keep running it. That was my thing, is them not sticking with the running game, I think encouraged the blitz.
I think that's a more than reasonable criticism. To say that Cliff Kingsbury, you know, what did you say? I forget the exact hyperbole. You know, that he didn't run an offense anything like what he ran in Arizona. I don't know if we can make that kind of sweeping judgment. I mean, to me, that's like they ran an offense that they felt, for whatever reason, gave them the best chance against Tampa. Now, it looks like it was wrong in some spots. We've identified those spots. But you get my point? Is like, we'd be killing Cliff Kingsbury if they put Jaden Daniels under center, dropped him back seven-step drop, and did an aerial attack with four and five wide receivers versus a blitzing defense. We'd be killing him, right?
We would. Look, I said it at the top. I'm not going to be overly critical of Cliff in the plan, because I think he gave him answers. There are just clear things that were lacking that shouldn't be.
There were clear things that were lacking across the board in every area.
For sure.
We got to do a trending alert right here, right now. Final one of the afternoon. We'll try and get back to some of the calls. Just hang in there, guys. We're coming at you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so Thursday night football already just a little bit more than 24 hours away. You can hear it right here on the Team 980, beginning at 8 o'clock with the pregame coverage. Kickoff just after 8:15 from Miami Gardens, Florida. It'll be an AFC East matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. Now, the bad news for the Dolphins, after their Week 1 win against Jacksonville come from behind and everything that went on with Tyreek Hill, is they'll be without already Raheem Mostert, who had almost 20 touchdowns last year for them, and his co-running back, his co-stable mate, if you will, Devon Achane, is a game-time decision. Josh Allen expected to play for the Buffalo Bills, who also had a comeback win against Arizona in their season opener. How about this? The NFL says, along with Nielsen, that they set a Week 1 ratings record averaging 21 million viewers per game. That's not just the primetime games, that's per game. 21 million, that is an increase of 12% over last year, and they said all told 123 million people, I have no idea how they do this, saw at least part of one game. So good news for the NFL. Bad news for the Nationals. They have to play tonight after getting absolutely drubbed last night by the Braves. 12-0 the final score. Mackenzie Gore, absolutely awful. His defense didn't help him at all tonight. Jake Irvin takes to the bump. Try and salvage one of two here against the Bravos in a short two-game series. 6:45, the action with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler coming up on the Nationals Radio Network at 6:45. And that's what's trending. It's been a little bit of a crazy show, as it always is, with the youngest in charge, the prestigious voice of Howard University, Linnell Willingham, in studio. Let's grab at least one here before cleanup on aisle three. Johnny is in Wheaton. What's up, John? How are you?
I'm good, brother. How y'all doing?
Good, Johnny. What's going on?
What's up, John?
You know, I get it. I get it with Linnell, you know, being frustrated and angered, but you know, watching it from the screen, you can't really see if them boys are open. You know, he's being rushed out the pocket. But I know one thing. Our defensive backs, you know, them corners, like, there wasn't much they were showing last season. So, to me, I don't understand why we have the exact same crew. Because, you know, last season they were getting dusted.
Well, here's the thing. The guy they brought in two different guys, Michael Davis and Noah Igbinoghene. You know, Igbinoghene seemed to play fairly well whenever I noticed him. I'm not going that deep. I'm just saying that's what I noticed. I didn't notice Michael Davis much at all. Maybe I was missing him, and maybe I was just frustrated and whatever all that. Here's the thing. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn thought Emmanuel Forbes was good enough to start on Sunday, and they started him, and they talked him up. So you know what? Like, yes, it's a Ron Rivera problem, and yes, it's an old organization problem. But these guys, whether by necessity or whether because they were just hoping to install the keep installing the confidence train, they started Emmanuel Forbes, and he was not very good on Sunday. So you know, exactly. I mean, at some point, you got to play with what you have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, they decided to keep him, so you're right. At that point, you got to use what you have. But I think they should have got rid of him. I mean, St. Juice, he'll make a play every now and again. But, you know, he's not a top tier either. So, I mean, it's like the quarterbacks are going to aim for him.
I don't know.
I mean, it's just been... What's up?
No, appreciate the phone call. We gotta run because we're up against the clock.
Can we just be real about this?
Yeah.
Emmanuel Forbes, and I said this out after the second preseason game.
Uh-huh.
Emmanuel Forbes is not an NFL cornerback. He's not. He does not have the play strength to be an NFL football player.
That's the better critique than his body language and being a little unconfident and mopey. I've heard both of those a lot,
but I think the play
strength thing, like if you look at the slant Chris Godwin ran on him for 14 yards on third and I think it was third and six, third and seven, when Godwin comes across in motion and Forbes is clearly in man because he's coming across in motion, not only does Forbes not get a hand on him, but he gets beat extremely easily to the inside, again, on a slant, which is the way the route is supposed to take you, but there's no, like, you know, if you would have jumped it and committed defensive pass interference, I would have been like, you know what? Yeah, that sucks, but at least he was competitive. At least he was there. And instead, he was beaten pretty easily. All right, let's get to this. We're not going to be able to get to any more calls today. I'm sorry, guys. We're back tomorrow. We'll obviously be able to get to you there. Stevie Ray, Lou, and everyone else hanging on hold. Sorry, just too much going on to make it all work. All right. We said maybe somebody at ESPN is trying to steal more ideas from us. But for now, we own the territorial broadcast U.S. rights to this particular segment. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two. A mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, I mentioned this statistic early on in the show, so I just wanted to make sure that I cleaned it up. It is a big-time trend in the NFL, as we kind of touched on. It's basically using motion and motion at the snap, right? So Seth Walder of ESPN Analytics got this, so I want to give him credit. It's all sorted and what have you, and he mentioned sorted by motion at the snap. The league average for motion at the snap 4% in 2017. In 2023, full season, 22%, so a precipitous rise. 2024 so far, 28%. But you don't want to know where the Washington Commanders ranked in all of this, just in week one here. Well, the answer is 27th overall. They had motion at the snap 16.4% of the time. Again, everyone else is doing it at a much higher clip. And motion overall, 37.5% of the time. So when you factor all of that in, right? Again, if the league is averaging at the time of the snap motion 28% and the Commanders are 27th and doing 16.4%, that might tell you something about what they can do to unlock the offense this Sunday and starting this Sunday, in addition to other things, which we'll get into more. I just wanted to point that out, just clean that up. All right. The other thing is, Linnell, last night, my friend Jamie Street, who used to work on the Redskins radio network, used to travel with us each and every week. We traveled together for 5 years. What a good dude. Really rock solid dude. He was, you know, just a great friend and all that stuff. So he invited me along with Lenny the Legend and our other friend Eddie Messina, to Nationals Park, and he said, I'll get you guys tickets and get you up in the broadcast booth. So I got to hang out with Charlie and Dave on the Nationals radio booth call for the first three and a half innings, something like that. Great experience. They've got an awesome booth. Those guys do an unbelievable job. If you want to know why they're so good at what they do, all you need to do is shadow Charlie and his notes for an inning, never mind three or four innings, and you'll see why. And then Dave Jagler, I want to give him credit for this. In the first inning last night with Ronaldo Lopez, former Nats prospect on the mound, who's having a career breakout year, all-star this year, but has already been hurt once, has already dealt with a lot of injuries, he said and noticed across the board that Ronaldo Lopez's velocity was down 3 to 4 miles an hour on all of his pitches. Something that you really got to be paying attention to, right? Really locked in. And know what he's been averaging coming in, research, and what he's doing in the first inning of last night. And before Dave said that, and the next thing you know, the Braves' entire coaching staff and medical staff is out at the mound saying,
what's up? What's wrong with him?
What's going on? Yeah. And then they pull him after an inning. Okay, he got through that first inning. But kudos to Dave Jagler. Kudos to Charlie Slows for doing just an unbelievable job. And that's why they are, if not the best, they are absolutely, undoubtedly, one of the top three or four broadcast duos, period, because of the work they put in and how smart they are. So I want to give them credit. Awesome experience. Here was not the awesome experience. You know what the final score of last night's game was?
Enlighten me.
12-0, Braves. The Nationals had three hits. Now, a lot of Nationals fans got mad at me when I said Mackenzie Gore is doing Mackenzie Gore things. Granted, he gave up, a four spot in the third. All four were unearned because of an error that extended the inning. I got it. My point was is you don't then have to give up bomb after bomb and wild pitch and walk and two booming doubles and four runs just because an error is made. Like, take some onus. Okay, just because they're unearned runs doesn't mean that they don't count. It just doesn't mean that if your fielders make a mistake, which they did, and he should have been out of the inning, does not mean you have to get lit up like a Christmas tree. And then it got worse. It got worse for Mackenzie Gore. They lose 12-0. They had three hits. It was an abomination of a performance. Just a really bad night at the office. But I bring this up. Matt, remember the last time we did this? I actually came up with a list, an amended list. I am now 0-4 in attendance at Nationals Park this year.
Just screwing the locals.
They've lost to the Atlanta Braves, the New York Mets in extras, in which they gave up 6 runs in 10 innings. They got blanked 5-0 by the Arizona Diamondbacks on a two-hitter. And remember the game that you and I went to with our buddy Jeff in Vienna to the Pittsburgh Pirates? That was Josiah Gray's final game of the year, and he tore his elbow. Well, he didn't tear his elbow there, but it ultimately led to a torn elbow, and he's now gone forever. So 0-4 with the Nationals. I have now been in attendance for 10 consecutive losses for the Washington Commanders. 10.
I have a
dating
question
all the way back to week one of last year and a tight win against Arizona. Not just home games, a couple of road games mixed in, including Sunday at Tampa. 10 straight losses that I have been actually in attendance for the Washington Commanders.
Quick question for you.
Yes.
Are you going to be at the game on Sunday?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your bets on the Giants.
There you go. So I am 10 I am 10 in a row with the Commies. I am 0-4 with the Nationals this year in attendance. And for the Capitals, I went to the Toronto Maple Leafs game in January. They got in March. They got destroyed. In the third period, they lost like 7-3. I went to a Toronto Maple Leafs game with our guy down in Richmond, Justin in Richmond, who was so kind to invite me through VetTix and all that stuff. They got bombarded. I went to the season opener against Pittsburgh. They lost, and it wasn't close. I went to a 5-0 shutout by Edmonton, and they lost. And I went to a shootout loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning right around Christmas time. I did go to one win.
You are bad luck.
One win. The St. Louis Blues in mid-January, 5-2 with Lenny the Legend in a suite that I got tickets for. So I am 1-5 with the Capitals in the last year, and I went to one Wizards game, 0-1, against the Houston Rockets, in which they got blown out by like 28 points. So all total, I've been to one win since last September. One win in attendance. 10 in a row for the Commanders, 4 in a row for the Nationals. That's 1-14. Eventually it'll be 1-14. 5 losses for the Capitals. That's 1-1 win. That's 1-19 and a loss to Houston. I am 1-20 in my last 21 professional sporting events that I have attended.
That makes you a loser.
Pretty much. Coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day. A local twist, I'm being told.
Going to Florida?
No, we're not. And and why you shouldn't probably mess around with cucumbers. But first, I forgot. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. Game time 6:45 scheduled for the Nationals and the Braves. High should be in the mid to upper 70s, clear and fairly comfortable in the nation's capital. Again, brought to you by Pepco, pepco.com/storm prep on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Matt, plays I Want to Sex You Up. How about that? Yes, that's one way to describe what we're about to do for the end of the show, baby.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
All right.
This, thanks to our guy, Boston DG, and courtesy of our friends at DC News Now, which made Yahoo's news department. Police are investigating after a man was caught on a homeowner's camera in Northwest D.C. recently, like last Friday, near Dunbar High School. Footage of a man that decided to bring a cucumber and a lunchbox to her driveway and then proceed to lodge the cucumber in the grill of this woman's SUV. Then the man checks... looks all around, and reportedly, according to the pictures in the video, he decides to commit a lewd sex act by turning around, meaning the rear of his body, with the cucumber in the grill of the car, and performs a lewd sexual act. And I will let you guys figure out that from here.
You're lying!
No. Then, just to make it worse, the man checks for the video again. He comes around the passenger side of the SUV, does it again.
And the horniest guy on the universe.
Then he notices the security camera, puts the cucumber back in his lunchbox, and walks away down an adjacent alley. Police can't identify him just yet, so if you know of anyone that violated DC's indecent exposure law by putting a cucumber up there, if you know anybody like that, please let DC police know.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
Linnell, I'm just going to say this. If you're going to do something like that,
You don't have to say that to me.
No, I said if you're going to do something like that, can you please do it in the privacy of your own bedroom and not in a driveway in a grill of a car twice?
Yeah, I don't like cucumbers.
Not that one for damn sure. I'm not going to have any cucumbers tonight, and I like cucumbers. But I'm not going to have one. Craig Hoffman is coming up next from Indianapolis. On the road for the next couple of days is the Hoffmeister. He'll take you home on a Wednesday afternoon. Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to the voice of Howard University, Linnell Willingham. See you tomorrow at 1 for a Throwdown Thursday.